The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Boker Tov, Anthony Reich, how are you?
Boker Tov. Well, we've got a lot to talk about, things that we've got on the list and things that we haven't got on the list. But I just wanted to start off just by finishing what we started yesterday with this Israeli vegan yogurt. I just wondered how people were thinking about it, and particularly about the fact that this is not soya-based yogurt, but rather oats, lentils, and sesame being produced by an Israeli company on the food shopping list in the UK these days. Can you believe that it would sell for around £2 for a 125-gram unit? That sounds like a lot of money to pay for any sort of yogurt. But I suppose, I mean, I'm not a vegan, and so I don't mind eating the dairy products, although I do understand those people who don't wish to eat dairy products either for health reasons or for conscience reasons. So I do get that. And of course, Israel is something of a paradise for people who are a vegan, vegetarian, that way orientated, because there are so many food products and so many places where you can buy vegan, vegetarian, not dairy, non-meat products. And now obviously going into exporting these products as well. How popular do you think this would be in South Africa?
I don't know, but I wonder about its long-term prospects, because if a child isn't raised on yogurt, then, you know, it's not really an issue. They just don't know it, so they don't have it, they don't miss it.
That's true.
So, I mean, but that's also just a thought.
There are all kinds of replacement products these days, just the same as we've got, you know, almost meat kind of products. We've got almost dairy kind of products as well.
Yeah.
And there are companies in Israel that are producing non-dairy dairy products that you honestly, you know, don't come from a cow or from an animal, but apparently you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So we're definitely going in the direction of, I suppose I would wonder how vegans, from a conscience point of view, would respond to these kind of products. One would think that they would want to eat it, because obviously it satisfies their conscience. But people have become so accustomed to eating in a different way in order to supplement their intake of foodstuffs by other means, using lentils, using nuts, whatever they need in order to get the nutritional value that they need. I just wonder how they would respond to non-dairy dairy or non-meat meat. I mean, we've got a lot of that going around these days.
Right. So let's put it to our listeners, Anthony. So do you think that there's a market here in South Africa for non-dairy yogurts and vegan yogurts? You just text us 34519. We'll wrap up this quick poll in about five minutes.
Depends on how it tastes.
Okay. And, well, you know, if it tastes the same. Could it taste the same? I mean, I know that I take meat supplements, or have meat supplements. It's that you would never know that this is not meat. It behaves in exactly the same way as meat. It smells the same, only it's made from peas. It's not even made from soya. So yeah, it's brilliant. All right, Anthony, let's get to some serious news. Israel has become the first country outside of North America to approve the Moderna vaccine. So 6 million doses are expected to arrive by the end of January. What's the update regarding the current vaccination drive?
So quite a lot of updates going on. First of all, the Pfizer two-dose vaccination program continues. Concerns about the supplies, because something like 1.4 million Israelis have already received the vaccination. So there are some concerns that there won't be enough supply to give people the second dose that they need 3 weeks after the first dose. We are advised by the health ministry that a lot of work is going on behind the scenes to get Pfizer to deliver more vaccine in order to make sure that everybody will get their second dose. There was some talk at one point about trying to get away with only one dose. Pfizer came out publicly saying that they cannot guarantee that the vaccine will be effective if the second dose is not administered. In fact, the health ministry has come out saying that our policy with the Pfizer vaccine is two doses. So there's no way that we're going to try to reduce the dosage because of the fact that we've got this issue with supply. A stink was caused at Ichilov Hospital when they opened up to vaccinating teachers. And we can understand why teachers would want to be vaccinated, because at the moment, something like a quarter of all active cases of coronavirus are school students.
Yeah.
So one understands that from a teacher's point of view, there is a good reason why they would want to be vaccinated. And Ihilom decided that they would be vaccinating teachers. The health ministry became very angry, saying that the teachers were not on the list of those people who ought to be vaccinated right now. And they've actually denied Ihilom Hospital any further supply of vaccine, which is a strange way to respond to one of Israel's largest hospitals. The irony, of course, behind the story here is that the head of Ichilov Hospital is a person that we know very well, Professor Roni Gamzu, previously our coronavirus commissioner, who once again is bumping heads with the Ministry of Health. And he's come out very, very publicly saying that if policemen are on the list of those people who can receive vaccine, then teachers are in the same category as policemen in terms of the fact that they are frontline workers, that they face up to the general public. And there's no reason why the teachers should be denied the vaccine. So he's really opposing the health ministry and working on them to renew the supply of vaccine to Ichilov, first of all, so that they can continue to vaccinate all of those who are genuinely on the list without any dilemma, without any fight with the Ministry of Health. And of course, I guess he's also wanting to continue to vaccinate the teachers as well. Lots of talk at the moment about a much, much tougher lockdown. There is an expectation that a decision may be taken as soon as this afternoon to go into a tougher lockdown. We're still seeing large numbers of new cases, 8,300 yesterday. New cases were diagnosed, so quite a big jump from the previous days, was in the sort of 5,000 to 6,000 range. Now we're in 8,000. And the government is saying that we're going to need to close at least some of the school classes, perhaps from grades 5 to grade 10, allowing 11 and 12 to continue at school and allowing the kindergartens and younger classes to continue school, but just stopping those ones who from grades 5 to grade 10, those pupils from attending school. That hasn't yet been decided. There is some talk about the possibility of closing schools completely. So that is a discussion slash fight argument that's going to be taking place later today by the government in order to decide what they're going to do. It seems likely that we're going to go into a much tougher lockdown for a couple of weeks. Discussions also with the yeshiva organizations, those religious institutions that are running the yeshivot, to try to close down the yeshivot. They're saying that they might give consideration to it so long as there is a very firm end date that the close down will end and that they will then be able to get back to studying again. The yeshivot in general have not adhered to lockdown, to shut down orders by the government. They've gone through quite a lot of infections. There's been quite a large number of people who've been infected throughout the yeshiva organizations. They went through a time when they were being much more careful and they were succeeding a little bit better. But recently they've had massive outbreaks of corona amongst the yeshivot. So that's going to be an interesting discussion. And overall, you know, still a lot of focus on the issue of vaccinations. And of course, now that Moderna have said that they will get 6 million doses to us by the end of January, the government is saying that there doesn't need to be this hiatus in giving doses of vaccine, that we will continue to do so, use up the Pfizer stocks, and then of course move to Moderna for those who have not yet received the Pfizer vaccine. So that's really the current update. Quite a lot going on. And of course, nobody's agreeing with anybody on any of the issues. Why would we suddenly do things differently from the way it's been done for the last 70 years?
I actually saw somebody sent me a message yesterday. I can't remember who posted it, but somebody had sent a message saying that Israel has vaccinated more Arabs and more Muslims than any other country in the world. And I thought that that was quite significant.
There's no discrimination between different sectors of the population. There was some concern that as a percentage of population, the Arab and Haredi communities were turning up in lower numbers to receive vaccines than other the other population groups. I'm not sure if that's really correct or not. There was some anecdotal evidence which suggested that. Certainly within the Haredi community, some of the senior rabbis have come out saying you should be vaccinated. Others have said not so much. Within the Muslim Arab community, I'm not sure what the response has been, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I know that Bahrain was also vaccinating quite a large number of people, but of course their population is relatively small. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Israel was the country that had vaccinated more Muslims than any other country.
Yeah. All right. Anthony, how are you feeling about your vaccination coming up later this morning?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really giving it too much thought. You know, I've already made the decision that I'm going to go in with a vaccination. I understand that there are some issues, there are a lot of things that we don't know about the vaccination. More and more stories about people who have had allergic reactions, not large numbers, but even one story here and one story there tends to make the news. So I think in terms of percentages, most people have really done quite well with the vaccination. So I've put my lot in with the pro-vaccine group, and I think that, you know, that's really the only way, the only possible way that we might be able to get out of this particular situation that we're in. I don't know that it will be successful, but at the moment it's the only way that we could break the current trend of what's going on around us, what has been going on for the last year. So I'm willing to give it a try. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Anthony, before we get to news, I definitely have to talk to you about this. As somebody who has driven in Tel Aviv and looked for parking, I haven't personally been driving, but to reduce the number of parking spaces in Tel Aviv, which already has no parking, this is a city that never stops. There are traffic jams at 2 a.m. in the morning. They are reducing the number of parking bays by 10,000. Why?
Right.
Why, Anthony?
Well, let's start with some of the numbers, because when I read these numbers, I was honestly surprised. Let's start with the fact that the city of Tel Aviv, apparently, according to this article that I read, has 80,000 street parking spaces.
And it's not enough.
In total, the whole city.
And it's not enough.
And it's nowhere near enough. It's nowhere near enough. There are apparently in the whole city 340,000 parking spaces, 80,000 of them on the street, 130,000 in private apartments, 110,000 in places of employment and car parks, and another 20,000 in a private parking company like parking lot areas. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, What we can say more than that is 67% of street parking is actually reserved for residents at night. So out of the 80,000, you really, as a visitor to the city of Tel Aviv who doesn't have a residence tag, have a very, very low number of parking spaces that you could potentially park. Good day. Now they're going to reduce that by another 10,000 off the street, simply because they need to use the spaces for infrastructure building, for projects, for other things that need to, that are required in order to keep the city running. Of course, there is an attempt to try to make public transport more accessible. The light rail, of course, is being built. The metro system, and there are these electric bicycles and electric scooters and other kinds of bicycles and buses and taxis and all kinds of other public transport. But it's not simple to get around Tel Aviv. And the statistics show that most of the journeys in the city continue to be undertaken by cars. 56% of journeys in the city of Tel Aviv are undertaken by cars, even though there is a massive attempt to increase bicycle and public transport users. But now they are slimming down these street parkings, which is going to make it even more impossible to park. And along with that, they've also decided to reduce the number of parking spaces that are required for residential purposes. So whereas once, upon a time, the Tel Aviv municipality rules said that for each residential space, there needs to be at least one off-street parking. Now, that's not the case anymore, because they're actually trying to reduce the number of cars in Tel Aviv completely. So instead of building more parking spaces, or at least the same number of parking spaces for residents, they're trying to encourage residents not to have a car. And the latest rule in some parts of Tel Aviv is a half a parking space for each housing unit. So you could imagine a block of flats with 20 apartments, 10 parking spaces. Everybody else has to manage somehow without a car. This is the way that Tel Aviv is going. It doesn't make it easy for visitors to get around there, and certainly not for residents. What do you guys think about this idea?
You know, just thinking about the transport infrastructure in Israel, it's a brilliant, brilliant system. And I think that people live there quite comfortably without owning a car.
To some degree, I mean, you know, what you're saying is partially correct, because another statistic in the same article suggests that something like 67% of people who are employed actually use their car, employees and students in the city use their own cars to get around. So there is still a massive reliance upon private car use, even within the city. You're right in, you know, in saying that there is an infrastructure, but it seems like it's nowhere near enough. And until such time as the light rail system really gets up and running, working properly end to end in the city, I don't think we're going to change that.
All right. Anthony, this is where we leave it. Thank you so much, Anthony. There's nothing like talking about parking problems in Tel Aviv. We'll chat to you tomorrow. Wish you a Hatzlacha Rabbah for your vaccination this morning. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you. I will certainly do that.
God bless. Thanks, Anthony. Bye-bye. That's Anthony Reich.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.